Well, this morning, and shifting just a little bit of a gear, we've talked about the gospel. We've talked about its implications. Last week, we talked about hope. If you remember, we talked about from Mark chapter 5, a man that lived in the cemetery, a man that was in many ways as hopeless could be. And yet when Jesus came, this man ran to Jesus. Look at, there's going to be some other passages to turn to, but just kind of listen to this one. But Mark chapter 5, verse 6, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. And as I thought about that this week, thought about how my challenge to you was to run full throttle to Jesus, to run to Jesus, who is our hope. And hope being the confidence of things that we don't yet see. But oftentimes, sometimes, if we've lived long enough, we run and sometimes we're disappointed because we don't exactly get what we are wanting or expecting. And that's where I want to go with this morning, that the hope of Jesus Christ comes in different shapes and sizes. For Joe, it was very easy. Joe ran, Jesus rebuked the demons that were in him. He was immediately delivered. I live working in the inner city. I saw that a lot. I hear different people's testimonies that when I met Jesus, all of my addictions, they were gone. But then I would run into other people that it didn't happen quite in that way. And that's kind of where I want to camp at this morning. The different sizes, the different means, the different aspects that we receive when we run to Jesus, when we run to the hope of Jesus. And this morning, I don't know where you're at. For some of you, it could be that you're running to Jesus is that you've been praying every single day for as long as you can know for a family member's salvation. And in your mind, you think that for that person to get saved, all of Africa could come to know the Lord. A whole continent could come to the Lord before your particular loved one could come to know Jesus. For others, it could be that there is a medical condition that you're facing, a family member's facing, a neighbor, a coworker, and you're praying earnestly for it, but it doesn't seem like there's really any a medical cure that is looming for them, and it seems sort of impossible. For some of you who are single, it's for a husband or a wife. For those of you who are childless, it could be for a baby. For those of you whose bills are here and your paycheck is here, it could be how does the end meet the means? And then you fill in the blank. When life hits us, we run to Jesus. One aspect of hope is that immediate deliverance, but there's at least three other aspects and different sizes that I want to share with you this morning. And we're going to turn to a good many passages, but the first one we're going to look at is 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 41. Good Bible drill time or Google time. Let's see how fast you can punch your buttons. The second point is that hope, when we run to Jesus, hope sometimes is delayed. And we watch and we wait and we watch and we wait and we watch and we wait. Waiting is not a good thing for me. It's hard for me sometimes. It's hard for me all the time. You know, the worst thing that someone can ever, I shouldn't tell you this because then you'll plague me, but the worst thing that you could ever do to me, and maybe that's just my own personal baggage of inadequacy sometimes, is someone to come up to me and say, I would like to talk to you about something, and they go away. I'm like, tell me now, you know, let me get my lumps now. What is it, you know? And then the worst is for someone to say, you know, I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. No, you know, but waiting is not something that's my strongest suit. And if we look at the context of this passage, what really it comes in, Elijah confronts Ahab because there's sin in the nation. There is a drought. Elijah leaves Ahab. He goes to the Cherith Brook. He goes to the village of Zarephath. He comes back. He confronts Ahab and the 450 and 400 prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth. They're on top of Mount Carmel. He has a big victory party, bigger than any Ohio State victory party could ever be. And in the top of Mount Carmel, God has told Elijah that rain's going to come. And this is where we pick our passage. Take a look in verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear that a mighty rainstorm is coming." And I'm going to pause right there for just a second, is that sometimes I think they have more fun in the children's kids town than they have in here sometimes, because I heard that they, with this account of the story, they actually had somebody's rain poncho on, and they were just squirting rain, kind of, you know. Maybe you would remember the messages if we did that. So you can change seats and we can put rain ponchos on you. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked and then returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the shape of a size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Now you think about this. I wonder why God said to Elijah, "It's going to rain. Tell Ahab." And so Elijah sends his servant, and he's so expecting that servant to come back. Rain clouds, Elijah. Nothing. "You must not have looked right. Go again." Nothing. 7 times. I'm almost wondering if God's kind of messing with Elijah a little bit, but then I'm thinking, no. Because on the 7th time, there's this cloud the size of a man's hand, and Elijah says, "That's all I need." For you see, God had begun a process of building into Elijah. And the watching and the waiting and the watching and the waiting and the watching and the waiting were all a part of that grooming and process of building Elijah to be the man that God's called him to be. And sometimes when we run full throttle for hope or for an answer or in our prayers, and it just seems like as we rest on the promises of God, God just says, "Wait, wait, wait, wait." And we've got to trust that God has not forgotten us. I have a friend who's been praying for her husband's salvation for the full 40 years that they've been married, and he still has not accepted Christ, but she still prays every single day. You see, what messes us up is that somehow God's not on our timetable. Ever figure that out? He's not on our timetable. Days, weeks, months, years to God are but a drop in the bucket of eternity. This past week, we went trick-or-treating, and we went with some friends, and we decided to go into Mentor because we think one, it'll be safer, and y'all probably would have better candy. And so we went through the tropical storm that went through that time, and the winds were blowing, and I remember driving. We had some friends with us coming from the city, and we weren't even five. It was only a 25-minute drive, and these children are so excited. They're like, "Are we there yet? Are we there? Is it started yet?" You know. Waiting. But God's got so much more that he wants to show us. And we miss the process. We miss the journey. We miss the intimacy. There's times in my life where I knew God was up to something, and God just says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I'm like, Yes, but I look back at those times where all I could is lean on God. Maybe you're at one of those places where you know God is in the midst, but it hurts, and you're waiting. Another shape and size that hope can come in is found in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. That our hope may come in a different form than what we expect. A hope that we run to. Maybe God will say something that we don't expect. Paul says, even though I receive such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We are not told what Paul's thorn is. But we do realize, know that 3 times he ran to Jesus and Jesus said no. But what Jesus did say is that in your pain, my grace is with you. And there's strength in weakness. And for my glory, you will shine. We don't like that. Sort of like after the kids get all their candy on Thursday. Kids didn't like me when I said, you can't eat it all tonight. We know what would happen, don't we, as parents? And there's times where God says to us, no, I see more than you see. Trust me. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. My mom, 3 years ago, there was a really tough time that she was going through. My dad, we now know a little bit more about it, but at that time we just thought something was happening. He was making decisions that weren't really good. He a family business that had been a part of our family for 15 years, he sold it out from, or gave it away. He auctioned off my mom's house without really, their family house without even knowing about it. There was so much going on. My mom had just had it. And she says, can I just come spend the summer? I it's just too intense. I can't. And so we came down to get her, and we had loaded up the whole car. And that night, right before she was able to get what she was asking for, my dad had a massive stroke. And we unloaded everything that was in the car back to the house. And in the course of that journey, she lost her house. She lost her independence. And the person that she was trying to get a break from the last 3 years, every day visiting in a nursing home. Because my dad really has no memory recollections of a lot of different things. He knows who we are. That's just about it. But in the midst of it all, she's found that his grace is all she needs. In the midst of the weakness, there's strength. I don't want you leaving thinking that if all of a sudden your prayer doesn't get answered in a certain way, that God has not shown up in your life. Maybe he's saying to wait, but maybe he's saying to you, you don't see the full picture yet. Hold tight to me and let me show it to you. A third shape that hope takes in is really tied very, very closely to this one, and that is that we don't see it all. Sometimes we need to realize that this world is not all that there is, that heaven is there. And you know, on the cross, you know that scene in the cross where the criminal were making fun of Jesus, and one of the criminals looked at it and said, "Why are you making fun of him? We have no right to die the same death as he does." And he looks at Jesus and he says, "Hey, when you get where you're going, will you remember me a little bit?" And Jesus looks straight at him and says, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Now, all of a sudden, the angels didn't just release that man from the cross. He still died. But when he opened his eyes, he is in paradise. Let me tell you this. This world is not all that there is. And some of you right now are going through stuff I could hardly even imagine. You need to realize that if there is not immediate deliverance, that sometimes we just got to wait. And sometimes God will just say, "You know what? Even though you don't understand, will you trust me? And will you let me hold your hand?" I'm going to miss those days when my kids, they're getting that way, are too old to let me hold their hand while we walk the street. But I don't want to ever be that way with Jesus. And maybe today you need to realize that in the midst of everything, praise be to God, this is not all that there is. This is not it. This is just the appetizer. The main course is coming. We're eating soup right now, but steak and lobster's on its way. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Lord, in the midst of all that's said, I don't know where you've spoken. I don't know what points, Lord, have needed to be said. I don't know where the hurts are today. But hope is here because Jesus is here. And so, Father, no matter what it is that's going on in our lives today, help us to run to you. You are the answer. You are the source of it all. And Father, I just pray that as the music is sung, that if someone needs to run to you, that they'll come and then they will pray up here or at their seat. Or maybe they just need to say to someone next to them, "Will you pray for me?" Because Lord, you are hope. In Jesus' name.